Pickaxe.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Oh, isn't that nice and cheerful? Welcome. Happy New Year. It's 2022.
Woo.
At the time of this recording. Listening in 2030? That's weird. This is the Hat Chat podcast. I was just thinking ahead.
Yeah, quite far ahead.
I'm Chris Trott.
Hi, Chris Trott. I'm Ross Hornby.
Wow.
And I'm Alex Smith, and it's a miracle we've made it this far. It's 2022, and it's the start of a new year that's hopefully going to be great.
Yep.
And this is episode 81.
This is our year.
This is our year.
This is the one.
Yeah,
I can see it.
At the beginning of every year. And one day it might come true.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's like buying a lottery ticket. This is the one. This is the one. Ticket.
It's like holding GME stock. It's like, this is the week.
This is
the week. Why is it going down? Yeah. Why is it going down again?
Stop it. We've got to stay positive for a fresh new year.
Stay positive, indeed.
And talking of positive, what an upbeat intro fingal there by Andrew Nelson. Thank you, Andrew Nelson. I, again, took that from 2019 when we got sent so many that I couldn't use them all. And now that we have a massive drought of fingals, I've gone back and picked them out. So thank you, Andrew Nelson. Sorry for not including it back then. Hey, if you want to send us a fingal, if you're musically inclined, please email us. Urgent. Please. This is an urgent appeal for fingals.
Wow.
Hatchat@hat-films.com. I wouldn't mind some new stuff. That'd be great. So I don't have to scour the remnants of what's in our email.
The styles, maybe genres that you would like to hear?
I would like to hear some trip-hop.
Throat singing.
Some throat singing, some
Matrix era techno.
Oh, okay.
It's not like God.
Gregorian. No, we've had
Gregorian.
A lot of like
we've had some
spoken.
Gregorian.
We've had a
Gregorian.
Lot of a cappella stuff. A lot of that.
Just be experimental. I think. Just
not too
just
experimental.
Not
make sure it's good though.
Keep it musical.
Yeah.
Thank
I'm
you.
Actually quite surprised at the amount of people who had never made anything before and then they decided to make something and then send it in.
Yeah.
Fair play. I don't know if we've actually played any of those.
What's the subtext there, Ross?
I don't know if we've played any of those, but fair play.
I was just surprised at their level of delusion.
I'm glad that they've gone and tried it. I think that's the important thing.
I should be more confident.
Yeah. But
no, thank you very much, everybody, for sending them in.
Thank you. It's much appreciated.
And bearing
sorry,
your soul to us. And all of those sort of vulnerabilities, but
and you know, people bear their wallets at us because they've been supporting this Hat Chat this whole time via Patreon. Thank you, Patreon supporters. You obviously get credited at the end of the video
in what we're calling the world's fastest crawl.
Not this week. We've actually got a longer fingal, and you can actually read quite clearly your name.
Nice.
My name's there. So, I haven't been supporting this podcast.
I saw an Alex, so I assumed it was
Jesus.
You.
Somebody signed up as me, Trot. That's a catfish.
Damn it.
That
your
is
name.
A catfish.
But yeah, thank you, Patreon supporters. They also did decide on the hypothetical questions that kickstart the Hat Chat of this week.
Yeah, of course.
So I don't know if you have the doc open. If you do, please read out which was voted as number one?
Option number one, we'll get to in a minute, because option number two is bizarre. It says here, would you take $10 million, but for the rest of your life, there's a snail that's trying to get you. And you can't ever be touched by the snail, otherwise you'll die. It's going for you at all times, but at the speed of a snail. So you could go to a different country and try to forget about it, but eventually it would show up. Think about it. If it started to work, you could go home. You'd be safe for the night. When you come back to work, be careful.
I stole this from Reddit.
Okay.
I don't know where it's from, but it's a snail that if you get touched by the snail, you will die.
Yeah.
But you can take $10 million to have this lifelong challenge
There's a couple of plot lines in various shows that use this mechanic, and I'm trying to remember them.
It Follows?
It Follows. There we go. That's the film I'm thinking of. Good film.
But it's been changed to a snail for novelty factors.
Yeah.
You can't kill the snail.
But it'd be just
assume,
as menacing, though, wouldn't it? You'd be terrified, because it is your death.
Yeah.
It's your death.
It's like, following you. But I guess also, it's one of those things where it's so slow that you won't see it creeping up on you in the way. And you might just like forget about it eventually.
When you're unaware.
And then when you do forget, you're like, oh, fuck, I just put my hand on this slimy... Oh! Mm.
Then you die.
I'm going to die. And yeah. But I mean, can you try and kill the snail? Can you do the old... flip reverse.
This is what I thought about. It's like, can you just trap it?
Little salt.
Can you stop it?
Circle. Just put it on a freight ship and it'll just go off around the world.
Jump into like a tank filled
block it in the
salt
Suez Canal.
Because if it goes in the salt, it's gonna perish, right? Mm-hmm. Or is it just an ethereal?
I don't think it can die. I'm gonna say it can't die.
It's like a godlike entity that essentially is always moving towards you at a snail-like pace, and it looks like a snail, but ultimately
not actually
it will get you and touch you and you will die. Yeah, it is death knocking at your door.
So I
take the 10 milli. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I think that's enough money to kind of just travel around.
So I just got to go on a flight because got to get the snail to come over the ocean and then I'm going to come back.
You know
back.
What I do?
What if
actually,
it gets on the plane
with 10
you?
Million, I'd hire a personal guard that's just on alert for that snail at all times.
Yeah.
You, really, 10 million wouldn't go far, Trot. That would not go far. You'd have a guard for maybe, I don't know, 10 years. Because you'd have
to obviously I invest the rest in crypto, Smith, and become a multi-billionaire next year.
Okay.
Once I've got all my ape NFTs.
So you've got 10 million and you think that you could definitely hire that bad boy for a long time.
But if you need it for all times, imagine how much it costs to you're literally housing and feeding another
person.
Like
a 24-hour.
10 million?
Yeah.
People do that already with service staff. They live on the premises.
Yeah.
Like a carer.
Yeah. They do.
Yeah. But I think it's worth it considering that's the thing guarding your safety the entire time. Do you know that the snail is about to get you? Or is that, because
you got to look
for
it.
If you don't know that, you're like, you take the 10 million, you're like, well, I'll just be on my way. But then you stand on a snail. Or slug or snail. Snail?
Just put an air tag on the snail with a bit of glue.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen the anatomy of a snail? It's messed up, by the way.
Right.
Just to add some extra horror to a snail. Do you know what a snail looks like on the inside?
No, I want you to describe it to me, though. Describe
it.
You
can
show us
again.
As well, but I think a description is necessary.
It's got all the right bits, just in a weird place. Let me open this image.
So, does it have like a heart like in its ass?
Here we go. So, we're looking at a side diagram of a snail. There's a lot more in its shell than I thought there was.
Yeah.
I thought it was just a slug with a little house on top for fun.
Oh my god.
But no, it's the snail's very much a part of its shell.
Yeah.
So at the front here,
it's not just a slug you picked up
a
bit of
shell.
Expect.
No, it's like, I've got a new home, like a crab taking a shell. It's not that. But basically, you've got the mouth at the front. That makes sense.
Yeah.
You've got eyes on a tentacle stalk, which we all know. That's a bit weird, but it's there. Their anus is in the shell at the front. Their anus is up there. Like, why?
So confusing. Also,
why is their anus up there?
Wait, does it have access to the outside world, or is it all in shell? So does it poo in
I
itself?
Don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
This doesn't make any sense.
But then,
sense.
Like, you've got the mouth, and it's literally a single tube that goes all the way back, down to the down to the stomach, and then you've got the liver squished up in the top of the shell there, and then the anus. Coming out of the other side of the shell. Like, what the hell? It makes no sense. And then they got a respiratory port just at the front there on the top. And at the end, why do they just sort of decide to call the end of the snail a foot?
That's funny,
isn't
it?
That's not a foot. The whole bottom of it is the foot, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's a foot. It's one foot. Although, I mean, yeah, would you call it... What else would you call it, do you think?
Belly.
Belly?
Yeah, it's like but sliding it's, along on his belly, isn't it?
But it's also its foot.
Yeah, you, it's not
his belly. Is technically inside the shell with its stomach.
No.
Is a snake just a long foot?
Exactly. A snake slithering on a dart sack.
What's a dart sack?
What
is that?
That's when they go to the pub.
Also, yeah. Penis and vagina right next to each other. Boom. They've got both.
Yeah, I feel like that is just like a kind of a simplification because like penis and vagina, yeah, lots of mammals and us have those things. But like, I feel like in some creatures like this where they have both, it's because the creatures are like asexual or both, you know, like I don't know what they call it. Like, what's it called?
Well, asexual is when you're able to, like plants, they're able to reproduce from themselves.
Yeah. Okay, that's true. No, well, I mean, like, I think they can be both male and female. But anyway, there's a word for it. Like,
it's got a big lung, isn't it?
It does. It does. And also, like, where's that,
its shell
coming from? Where does the air come from?
I think all this tells me is that you should be careful where you stand because I think there'll be, are slugs around this season or was it more of a September thing? But watch out for slugs. Not slugs, snails. Because they're shells.
Especially ones that are like immortal and coming out for you.
Yeah.
And if you touch them, you die. It's messed up though, the snail, right?
Yeah.
It's messed up.
It's a mess. It is a mess. Like, biologically speaking, that is just, I don't want to go in there and sort that out. You know, it's like, imagine having to rewire all that.
Trying to do surgery on a snail.
Imagine doing a surgery on a snail.
It would have to be like, you'd have to drill a hole into the shell.
That's how you do it.
Like a little tiny camera in there. To really root around and figure out whether you've just punctured the lung.
And you have. So what do you do now? Fill it with crazy glue?
Just make sure you got your boots on and give it a good crush.
Oh, man.
See, or this is the anatomy covering garlic and grew serve up it with. You've got googly eyes, the enchanted retractable wiggle stalks, the compact mobile home there. Yep. You've got the clockwise whirly gig, obviously, on the side. The pit of despair underneath. The 90 slower stripes and other obvious things that we learned in science, like the gentle soil feelers and the rampant munch flap. What?
Can it entirely get its whole like foot back inside itself, inside the shell?
I don't think there's any space in that shell. I think it's all organs in there.
Weird.
No, they can go inside their shell.
I feel like they could go inside. I think
they can go inside their shells. Yeah. Yes.
Well, let's move on to turtles.
What about
it's a go slower stripe, not 90s slower stripe.
Is that just a simple? They're bigger, so
yeah. I mean, they're not quite the same. There. I think
you can't just take the
more...
turtle shell off and change it. It's not like an outfit.
No, it's not like an outfit. What they all when they're born decide to just choose the same outfit.
Yeah, you get the default skin.
They have a more normal configuration of organs. You know, like
boring.
I think not such a crazy setup like those.
How did that happen? I don't know.
Either evolution.
Yeah.
That's all I can tell you.
That's all from the question of, would you take 10 million for this?
So for me, it was a yes.
I would
immortal snail.
Also take the 10 million, knowing that...
I would take it.
But I'd also steal Trot's idea and use that money to fund someone.
You'd hire somebody. I'll just buy the snail. I'll put the snail in a jar and then just post it around the world.
I feel like there needs to be more of a caveat, because if you can just put it in a jar, then that's it. You're sorted.
I feel like we know very little about our enemy. You just learned about the anatomy of a snail. What else has it got, you know?
Could you put it in a safe with a camera on it at all times and basically create, like, a little Guantanamo snail?
You could send it to space. That's a good idea. We could just, like, buy one of the many, I wouldn't say indie, but, like, private space firms that are just shooting satellites and stuff into space to be like, can you just add this snail on the top, please? Just send it into space, please.
I mean,
touch it.
Okay, so you can't trap it.
No.
I think there's a rule that says you can't trap it.
Get the trapper.
I just put like a freight ship. Just put it on a freight ship. Okay. You don't have to trap it, put it on a freight ship.
Is that technically trapping it?
Well,
you're trapping it on a...
Well,
trap
on Earth, are we not case. Trapped? Yeah, you're trapped within
it's
this
trapped
atmosphere.
In reality.
There's a
what if it can just go through walls and stuff? Anyway, there's this stupid. It's getting out of hand now. We'd all take the 10 million and deal with the consequences.
We'd take the 10 million, of course. Dear God.
The original Patreon question one was, we get stranded on an island. Who's the leader? Who organizes everything? And who dies first?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I die first.
Well, I think that we... I think that we are quite democratic in quite a lot of ways, and we would just delegate to each other, frankly.
I think we're probably democratic until survival instinct kicks in and tension is high and there's a scrap of food left and then Trog gets killed. It more is I die.
Trog gets hit
with a rock.
I die
immediately.
Classic.
Smith gets angry, smashes my head with a fucking rock.
God, what have I done?
I die. Ross has to live with that trauma. It's like, I don't want any part of this, Ross.
Well, I guess
and
I'm
you're
on
watching
edge
my head get bashed in.
Smith kill someone.
Yeah, you'd be on edge.
I wouldn't kill anyone. You're more useful to me alive until you die of natural causes and then I eat you.
I think that sentence alone, Smith, just shows the lack of... It's like, you're more useful to me alive.
You
it's
are.
It's not like, I'd rather you be alive. That's nice. It's, you're more useful to me alive.
No,
as an
you said when survival, like when survival instincts kick in, and I think people undervalue the idea that people think like survival is just like, it's just about me now. Maybe in like an incident where like, I don't know, there's a zombie horde and you're trying to get away. I can imagine in that sense. But if it's a survival situation, I think most people go, shit, no, we should work together. Like this is the best way for me to survive. Me personally.
Isn't... I guess we can only take it from like evidence from people being stranded together and having to survive. Like,
yeah,
a lot of them resort to cannibalism.
That seems to be where it always goes.
So,
I guess well, you run out of desperate measures. That is the
yeah.
So the that doesn't seem very democratic.
Well, I mean, if it you die, like if you die, I can't stop you from you know. Falling off something or getting an infection or
whoops
like
or, whoops, you fell.
Yeah Lol. If you die and I mean it's not likely
he was
you'll
on
be
his
the
way
one
out.
To die but whoever's got the most body fat will also probably last longer as well
yeah you would just natural fasting right
and, yeah there's lots
using
of factors
your body's nutrients
but then again because I'm bigger I require more calories so
oh.
You might end up lasting longer.
He'll be making sure he gets his daily recommended amount.
Yeah. If I'm not eating 3,000 calories a day, I'm going to be in such a bad mood. And that's going to increase the chance of a rock finding its way.
How many calories do you think I
am? Can't be in a deficit.
How many calories do I think you are? God, you've got to be about 8,000, I reckon.
So my basal metabolic rate, which is like how many calories I need to sustain my life, is 1,800 calories, roughly.
Wow. That's not very much.
Really rough.
Okay.
It's not very much. But like how much calories is my body?
I'd say about 8K. I'm going to guess 8K. If I was to imagine your body as another form of meat, which is what I'm doing right now.
His whole body?
Like yeah.
All of his body?
So all of his muscles. Yeah, mainly his muscles.
8K
I guess the
doesn't
fat
sound
as
like
well.
Enough.
You think more?
Imagine like a steak, right?
More, yeah.
Okay.
Which is like my hand.
Yeah.
I guess. But we're not talking about bone density or anything. It's literally just, this is roughly the same shape as a steak.
Well, I mean, okay, let's say...
How many calories is a steak?
Let's say usable, like accessible calories. Because obviously if we like boiled your bones and all those things, we'd be able to draw a lot more...
Make a nice stew.
...of the calories out of you. But I'm thinking like
bone
if
broth.
I had to slice bits off you and cook them like a piece of meat...
You've thought about this, haven't you?
Oh, I'm thinking about it.
It feels like he has. Really taken some time.
If I had to do that, it would
if
be...
If I had to start the arse, which I would.
Most people do, apparently. Most cannibals do. Yeah.
And it goes back. Ah, okay, yeah, go on.
No, I don't want to go on anymore, but...
well, good, because then I can survive. And I can eat you.
You can survive. Who else? Is it just us three there? Because...
It seems that way. The question seems that way.
How many calories do you think Troy is, Ross? So here we've got some stats here. Beef is 2,500 calories per kilogram.
Per kilogram.
I'm like 75 kilograms right now. Probably more because of excessive eating.
I wouldn't say he's as much as a cow, though, because of his weight difference. And also just a cow, there's a lot more like meat.
Yeah, that's it. We're talking about... So a cut of steak is usually a muscle, right? So you've got to think about muscle content. Trot will have a lot of calories in him in fat as well. Like everybody has a layer of fat on their stomach, for example.
Also, you're probably not factoring in my phenomenally large penis.
Wow, of course. Yeah, that's...
Probably not. Probably not.
Oh. I imagine I'm not eating
John
like
C. Would you eat,
would you eat a dick? I think you'd throw that away just on principle, wouldn't you? I'm not going to eat his dick.
Yeah, it's not.
Out of respect, we won't eat his dick.
Well, I mean, when you I don't know what if you're going to be wasteful in that scenario. I mean, people have eaten kangaroo dicks and buffalo dicks, or whatever it is, in I'm a Celebrity, and they're just taking a paycheck, like, so they're not even like in a survival scenario.
You've shared like stories with. And,
oh, of course. I know. It's a human penis, but I'm just saying, like.
And if you can see my wasteful. Dead face staring blankly at you. It's just
no, I've already eaten
frying
that.
Up.
I've already eaten that.
Well, would you eat his face?
Oh. That'd be
see,
the second.
I'm worried
the
how
ass,
it'd be that's face. Gone.
Would you eat
it
his face?
It would be face.
Just cut his face off and
no,
fry it up.
There's not much face. There, is there?
It's just nothing. There. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You've got to work out where
it's
you're actually going to get. Well, there's quite a lot of muscle.
What about
you could wear his face. You could wear his face as a mask, as some sort of tribal thing.
I could.
Why don't we eat brains, by the way, out of interest?
We can do.
Is there just no nutrients there?
No, you do. You can. Like, pig brain pate exists in other, you know, like Russia and stuff like that.
There is quite a lot of encouragement to eat organs of most animals and stuff.
Yeah,
but it's
like,
just not
if you're going to kill an animal, eat the whole lot, right?
Yeah. But it's just like when you're like, oh, I'm going to have to eat a cow heart tonight. It's like suddenly you just kind of, it's the visibility of the heart kind of puts you off a little bit.
Who
but,
wants
I mean, it's all,
the testes?
It's all meat, isn't it?
It's all meat.
Who wants the testes? Again, I think I'd use
who
them as,
would me,
I'd
me,
use
me,
them
me,
as,
me.
I'd use them as crabbing bait, Trot.
Deep fried. Right. Oh, that's smart. You could use me to like get fish and stuff.
Right?
You can dangle a finger in the water and see what bites.
So.
I think what would bite that wouldn't be edible. Wouldn't be nice to eat. Like a really carnivorous fish.
Piranha. Like just a piranha.
Like a piranha or something.
I mean, would you...
I don't know. I don't know where we're being stranded.
Yeah.
It could be...
I imagine if it's surrounded by water, right? That's the usual. It could be the desert. You know, like I think the desert's got to be the worst place to be stranded. Like,
I think we'd all just die.
At least we can drink enough salt water to kill ourselves quite, like, fairly quickly and feel like we're kind of slightly drinking.
I don't think death from salt water ingestion is particularly enjoyable.
No.
I wouldn't say so. No.
1 second.
He's going to go drink a load of salt water now. Oh, there we go.
Hold on, let me test that. I've got some table salt. Is that a spot of water?
You just shoe nice some salt water.
Yeah, I was just trying it out. I thought, well,
a little shot glass.
So we're all talk, but let's get that salt water down and really experience.
3, 2, 1.
No, salt water is horrible. Like even when you just like go in the just in the sea for a little bit,
it sends me into a panic when you're like. When we went scuba, actually, was it with you guys? But, you know, the really basic ones, we just have the snorkel.
Yeah.
And I had a broken one. I think this was in Kenya, actually. Never mind.
Okay.
But anyway, I had one that was broken and water was leaking in. And it just immediately, as soon as you start breathing in salt water, obviously breathing through your nose is pretty horrible. Yeah. But, like, just tasting it just sends my brain into a panic. It's like, this is wrong. There's something wrong here. Yeah. I'm breathing in water and it just... All logic goes out the window. He's not panicking.
Well, I think
so
that's
a horrible
isn't it?
Feeling.
It's a kind of an almost instinctual reaction.
It's so
to
salty.
It. You shouldn't be drinking this. This is awful.
It's really salty and horrible.
It's quite good for gargling when you have a sore throat.
Yeah,
like
true,
as a low cost alternative to like anti, like what's it called? Like ever go? Do you ever gargle like diluted TCP, for example?
No.
TCP.
Oh.
It might not be a good idea. It kind of numbs your throat a bit. I used to do it. It's like, you know, a disinfectant for like.
I think salt was salt was good for like if you have mouth ulcers and stuff as well. It's kind of like a really ugh. But I think I've done it a couple of times before and it's awful. I hate it.
A means to an end, though, isn't
it? I won't drink salt water.
I won't
do it
again. I won't do it again.
Anyway, so we're killing Trot, are we?
That's what we've come to on it. Who dies?
See that where I die very quickly from like, oh, I stood in one of those plants that slowly kills you or whatever.
Yeah. I think we'd all be like absolutely on top of that though, because I think you knowing that you would like it's
I'd
like
be
when,
paranoid of
yeah,
everything.
It's like when we
imagine
were in,
how paranoid Ross would be.
Yeah, pretty up there. I mean, he might end
like
up topping
every
himself
noise.
Just out of sheer terror. You know what, guys?
On edge.
Don't fancy just
do you reckon
to
Ross
deal
might kill us because he just goes insane and thinks that
think
we're
so.
Out to get him as well as
you think
the
a good
environment
chance of that
I think the moment I see you swinging a giant rock towards Trot's head would be my moment of fear of like whether I should kill or be killed.
There's something up. Because
it just feels at that point there's an inevitability. And I could feel like, well, I could survive longer again on my own though. So like, what's the point? Maybe I do want someone to just smash my head in with a giant rock. Because otherwise I'd have to starve. Slowly.
Straight after that, after like watching me getting my head bashed in and then you taking out Smith, just a boat turns up. It's like, all right,
guys.
Yeah.
you've only been here 6 hours.
It's literally.
Have you seen
6 hours?
It's a bit of a spoiler, but it's quite old. Like, how many years do you think it's acceptable to reveal a spoiler?
70.
Castaway.
Castaway.
No, wait. What is it? Who is it?
It's the Mist. I think it's called. Oh, okay. Do you know what happens at the end of the Mist?
No.
Okay.
I don't think I'm going to see it.
But basically, something similar happens
for the next 2 minutes.
Something drastic happens.
Yeah.
Just before like someone comes to save the day. So it's like one of those situations where it's like, fuck. Yeah. And it's a real, it's a great moment. Like, as in, like, it's shocking. Yeah. Worth watching.
Yeah.
But I won't go into any more detail.
Just before, like, we nearly saved you. Yeah, no, I love that. I like those kind of things. They kind of like really brings the horror home, doesn't it?
Yeah. Like, directors that aren't afraid to literally just leave it on a shit moment where it's like, okay. Yeah. I know that it's going to get shit reviews because people are like,
like Game of Thrones.
Handle happily. Game of Thrones, which is just more of a narrative
leave it
issue.
On a shit moment.
Leave it on a shit issue and just like kind of, sprinkle a load of plot holes all over the place.
And Lost as well.
Lost, yeah. Just give that one the old dream treatment. Yeah.
Anyway, that's stranding on an island as well.
Yeah.
I know, for the polar bears straight away.
Explained anything in there.
I feel like we've exhausted the patron questions. Thank you, patron, for picking those ones. Much appreciated. And with that, it's time for an ad break.
Hey, all. I'm Dr. Alo Kanoja, but the internet knows me as Dr. K. I spent 7 years studying to become a monk and then became a psychiatrist. I want to tell you a little bit about my podcast, Healthy Gamer GG. Where we combine my clinical experience of practicing psychiatry and sprinkle in years of experience as a meditation teacher and sort of focus on spirituality. So on the podcast, we're going to approach very common everyday problems from each of these lenses. And what we really do well is blend science and spirituality to create the most accessible solutions for people for their everyday problems. So check us out at Healthy Gamer GG on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple.
It's really late, but there it was. Sorry about that. The person that has to find that and put the ad in there. Hopefully you're just listening to
it's me, by the way. I'm that person.
You're doing that.
Yeah, I'll just take a note.
26 minutes.
That's like 26 minutes
in. Yeah, that's all good.
There you go. Perfect.
There's no ethereal person doing this for us. We don't have a team of people. I feel like...
We don't have a receptionist.
Maybe some people think that there's a team of people. We have Craig, and that's it.
I swear this whole time we had like... 50 staff members like sorting.
I don't know
no,
what people.
Us,
I don't know
out.
What people think anymore in terms of what like YouTubers or whatever. They're like, they've been doing it for 10 years. They must have a team of 50 people. So,
should we like Instagram reality? What being us is actually like?
Yeah.
Have you seen Instagram reality? It's a really harsh, horrible Reddit where people just be like, just "Here's a filter, here's not.
Yeah.
Here's what they actually look like." It's like, well, okay, sure. But anyway, reality is it's just us three and Craig, mostly.
Yeah, for the most part.
There
until it comes to certain merch and bespoke merch where we get help from other people.
Of course, but, when we're not artists.
Yeah, it's us.
Like,
and you know what we're like.
There you go.
We're bloody morons.
Idiots.
Morons.
How have we
terrible
kept this up for over
media.
10 years?
Morons.
Yeah. 2022, it's going to be 11 years since we started Minecraft and kicked off the channel, which is
11.
Insane. 11 years. 2011 is when we kicked it off.
11 table tennis. That's going to be pretty crazy. Pretty crazy.
It's hard to fathom, really.
Yeah.
We've done it for this long.
Yeah.
And
is it time to remake the original videos and just go back in a circle? Remake
them. Honestly, they probably do great. Like, if we just did Minecraft again, it would... No, all we have to do is do the first 3 episodes of a new series, cancel it, and then keep redoing new series. That way we get the first episode explosion of views, but not the slow degradation.
This is going to be it. I'm going to be in for the long haul.
Keep this series going. I'm 45 episodes in. Keep it going, buddy. I know the views have dropped 90%. It's fine.
All right, now we're moving on to Jungle Craft and now Plane Craft.
I mean, Minecraft's still massive on YouTube. It's just like, yeah, I don't know.
It is, but the format of it is something that we can't bring to the table, which is this highly energetic teenager atmosphere with like 50 people doing a Hunger Games thing every
day. That's true. It actually amazes me we got anywhere
with
what we did.
Noob versus pro crap, which we're neither. We're just the noob, aren't we, really?
I think you still need to have that childlike excitement, which died for us many years ago.
And energy.
For the Minecraft. Because we were excited about it genuinely.
Just a grim determination, like Dan TDM. All right, guys, here you again. I'm playing Minecraft Mobile. Just going to grind this one out.
That's the other thing you got to do as a new YouTuber is like other YouTubers.
Well, you don't have to. Do you have to?
Yeah,
but you have to pretend, don't you?
You got to be in a clique of like really big YouTubers that all collaborate with each other.
Oh, right, yeah. Okay.
And make each other bigger.
Yeah.
But, you know, instead of that.
It's strange because looking at our channel as well, it's just like, it's never obvious what is going to be successful. Like, you'll just be like, this was a really good video.
Oh, I think that it's very obvious that Bullet Roulette VR will become one of our most famous videos with 3.8 million views.
Yeah, exactly. Can we just, and we just try to replicate that exactly the second time and nothing. And that's pretty frustrating. And I was looking back at Hat Films the other day and our Hat Films channel, just recent videos and looking at different ones and going, I really like that one or I really like this one. And then, but views wise, I couldn't guess, you know, if you said to me, rank these 10 videos based on what you think are going to get the most views and the least views, I couldn't tell. I just couldn't tell. And that's weird.
I kind of like though where YouTube is going is I think you remember back along when we first started that we'd make things higher quality and do things that other people hadn't done before, like multicam in an episode. Mm-hmm. And I think whilst those made us stand out, we still noticed that people that put no effort in still got exponentially more views. I think it's actually coming around again where quality and production are the go-to necessities or the driving factors, for example Mr. Beast, and I know he's a very polarizing person, but it's all about quality now, really, and just getting to the point and having high quality stuff and not just shitting out content.
You describe that as quality though?
I don't
Mr. Beast stuff is expensive and it's high budget and it's fast paced. It's in 10 minutes. He spent $3 million for a 10-minute segment. But I wouldn't say that's high-quality content. I'd say it's good YouTube content for fast-paced, Zoomer generation, definitely.
I'd call it high-quality in the sense that...
Quality
Not cinema-grade.
The actual Squid Game series,
thinking about
high-quality.
Shot formats and stuff like that. But I'm thinking more he meticulously thinks how the format's going to be down to a granular level. I have to grab them and explain everything instantly and get to the action within this second. And as soon as it's boring, I'm cutting to another shot. And that's a lot of editing and consideration to make that happen, really. He doesn't just top and tail a 50 episode Minecraft series anymore. He's spending millions on one video, which that's what I mean by quality is
do you think that's because the mainstream are coming over to YouTube to consume content rather than
maybe
I feel like the top and tailing of Minecraft stuff, and it's hard to say, but there are two ends to the top and tailing of Minecraft stuff. There's the stuff that we used to do and the stuff that lots of people we know used to and still do, and then there's the really successful other Minecraft stuff that isn't necessarily topped and tailed, but it isn't it isn't exciting or interesting really unless you're involved in it, right? But it's this bizarre kind of sometimes I struggle to see. It's either you are purely something, right? You are purely this Minecraft series or you're purely this thing, and people will come and view it, and then you need to do another Minecraft thing like that to maintain that audience, right? And what decision are they making each time? What value do they have where they're this is what I want to watch, this is why I want to watch it, and this is, and I will continue to do so, versus like the completely other audience, like the Mr. Beast audience, which is like getting grabbed all the time, right? Like being grabbed. They're like part of a mainstream, and then you're kind of grabbing that stream of viewers. Now I think the success of people like Mr. Beast and the newer stuff is because there's a new like mainstream audience coming into YouTube, right? Because of the prevalence of things like YouTube apps on TVs and shit like that, like they're harvesting almost a new audience, which I think is what kind of feeds into what Trot was saying about how YouTube seems to be changing again at the moment, where people are expecting a certain production quality. And I think that's perhaps where that expectation is coming from, is the more mature like YouTube user who's coming from on-demand Netflix stuff to then go like, right, oh, I like Netflix stuff now. It doesn't need to be associated with a TV channel. I'm interested in that. And then, oh, what's on YouTube? And then they'll find someone who perhaps teaches them something, or, you know, like a group of people doing a podcast and something like that. Like, I think those are the routes, like the production routes, which is really cool, because hopefully those people will find us. And I think that's what we're going to try and do, is continue what we've been doing, trying to be high production quality-ish, personality-led content.
Maybe what's helping push the production is also the legitimacy of the industry itself. Like, I feel like when we started, it wasn't an industry of YouTubers.
We
had to literally fight against the idea that YouTube is even a meaningful job and explaining it to anyone. Nowadays, it's a sought-after thing. All kids want to do it and get into it and want to consume it in some fashion. And I'm talking about YouTube in like a very general sense. I'm talking about like social media in general, like TikTok and all sort of internet consumption of media. It's something that's like highly sought after versus like it's this niche weird internet thing that isn't as good as the alternatives.
Now it's very
much like a easy access, everybody's on it. How do we get our stuff on this platform? We are behind now. So maybe it's that as well that's driving it, and this external companies and money going into it to elevate it, perhaps.
I mean when you talk about Mr. Beast as well, it's quite different, because he already has a pool of 87 million subscribers to pull from, in terms of he didn't necessarily need to spend 3 million or whatever, but if we spent 3 million pounds on one video and then cut it down to 10 minutes or whatever, do you think we'd get anywhere near the same views just on our, you know, where we are
no,
right now?
No, we wouldn't.
Or do you think he's Mr. built Beast it based on that thing. Format, and that's why it's garnered as much money as it has, therefore it's already in a system of guaranteed views, right?
I think what he's done is distilled his own format to a fine art, which a lot of people don't bother to do. They just find the thing that makes them popular and regurgitate it until it dies, and not try to think like, how can I really hone this in? I think a lot of people that are driven like that have that youthful energy to like meticulously look at their analytics and like, there's a slight dip, something's wrong, I need to find out exactly what that dip's all about, why it's there, and get rid of it. And there's a peak here, I need to capitalize on that right now, and I'm willing to do it and spend all my time until 4 a.m. fixing that issue. I think it's that,
it's
kind
a
of
momentum
like,
thing as well, because like
it's a momentum and also panicked thing of like, all of this is going to go if I don't keep trending upwards. My channel's dead, and I know it is, because I've seen other channels die. I've grown up with the channels that are dead now, and I need to like just keep this going. And then I think the burnout will be real for some of these massive YouTubers when they eventually peak.
Because
it's inevitable, right? They just won't be as popular anymore when the new generation
again
comes
though, like you're right, it is inevitable that they will not one day not be popular. I think when you get to someone as big as Mr. Beast, and I think PewDiePie was probably a good example of this previously, is like they're a cultural like movement, right? They are a representation of a very popular like of pop culture at the time. So it, for them to fade away into the background will be because people as a whole have got their fill, or something happens that changes a person's opinion of that creator. And then that's how they fade away, when people are like, yeah, I used to watch PewDiePie, but like, seems like a bit of a dick these days, you know, like that's what happens to like,
well, it's just not cool anymore.
Yeah. Like, that's how they decline.
I've grown up.
I think eventually people, quite soon, really, I think people will, and are already perhaps, I haven't looked at his stats, so this is a bit of presumption, but we'll get quite sick of having to watch people compete for money and for every video to be another eyebrow raising excessive money giveaway or whatever, you know, like as in all of this stuff is like, you know, these people bought this house by staying on it. I think that eventually when people will get over the like, this is crazy, like, wow, like, my God, imagine winning a house by keeping your hand on it, or imagine winning that much money for competing in this thing with this YouTuber. Like, once people get over that, they'll probably realize, like, fuck me, this is actually pretty grim. Like,
I don't know if it will.
Depends. It's like game shows, though, isn't it? So it's like, it's still a repeatable format. Thing.
But this is needing an ever greater escalation. And game shows don't necessarily escalate like that, right? Like, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire is still £1 million.
He'll probably find, he'll probably find a format that's not as
money-centric,
trying to outdo the previous video kind of thing, and rather find a baseline that will stay consistent rather than like, this is double the amount, it's two islands given away rather than one island.
Yeah,
and that kind of thing. I think you'll find a format that will just be consistent, and people will always have that drive to be like seeing the other side of like, what would it be like if I had that money. I think that's always like a human intuition kind of thing, like looking at people's expensive houses because I don't have one. What's it like, etc. And living vicariously through that is always going to be an interesting thing to look at, right?
Well, yeah, if that's living.
I think ultimately, when it comes to these kind of formats on that and all this stuff, it's like you still need to have a passion for it at the end of the day. And obviously, his drive is the fact that he's, you know, still successful, still running. So he's managed to find a format that works for him. And yeah, if you can keep the ideas rolling, it seems he must have. I mean, we were saying earlier on about like people might think we have a team behind us, but like, the way that some of these projects are set up, you must feel like he must have some more people to help him, because
like
there's a big project.
The one, the Squid Game one he did, he had
built sets.
He had another person that made all the electronic things. Like, he reached out to another YouTuber to like make all the things, the squibby things that they can remotely detonate. They also had a CG team that another YouTuber. Again, they all make videos about like, I did the Mr. Beast behind the scenes kind of video, which all links back to Mr. Beast. It's very smart, really.
Yeah, and good.
Then there's a lot of CG in that Squid Game that you wouldn't realize, like set extensions and stuff like that. People dropping through, that was all CG. Adding smoke and mirrors everywhere. But yeah, that he does have a huge team now that he spends, and he reaches out to people. But he's just one example.
I see it like a
common trend of like YouTubers that are on the grind, and they really are like pushing everything in, like they've put all on black kind of style life, where they're just like slogging away, analyzing every single like peak and trough of their analytics, and just refining their formats to like a real distilled format that's like, this is working for me, and I'm not going to deviate from this path, and critically analyzing themselves. It's really like quite scary, really.
Well, yeah, it depends, because sometimes that works. That works for some people, where they can actually analyze it and then make changes that work for them. Whereas it really depends, because we're quite a, I guess, personality-driven channel. And obviously we diverted away from Minecraft at a time where we were like, yeah, this is getting tedious for us to do all the time and keep it fresh for ourselves as well. So like,
well, we're lucky. We got a legacy.
To diversify
that
is good.
Yeah, I think so. We diversified early, which is great. But again, we have a legacy. Like, we have an old audience that have grown up with us, that have, very thankfully, a feeling of, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for?
Loyalty?
Loyalty, yeah. A loyalty there, which, you know, you don't get as like a new YouTuber. You have to build that over time and like really have that connection with them. And that only takes... Yeah, it takes time to like have that connection, do a lot of streams, and watch us develop as people as well. We're not like who we were when we started. And the more you invest in us, I guess, and watch our lives, our lives, the more you get to see that change over time and either enjoy it or move away from it. So,
yeah,
that's the thing. You're very much relying on people having that space in their lives to have that interest, you know? Like think about the TV shows you've watched in the past and how you really enjoyed seeing those characters or seeing those actors do that thing, and then that comes to an end and you still like seeing it, you still like reminiscing about it, but you don't watch it anymore or whatever. I think that like that is based not necessarily on the show, but the space that's left in your life for enjoying those things, be it because of what you do, where you are in your life, the relationships you have, all that sort of stuff. So there's also just that to consider. It's like, you know, a person may want to stay around, want to keep watching, but they just can't. And whilst it's vitally important for us that they do, it's not vitally important for them either.
Well, I think a lot of people talk about like drifting from content, right? And then they never really talk about coming back around because there's never really that opportunity. But we've done it for so long that at some part of your life, you're watching us, say, as a teenager, and it's not cool anymore, or you just drifted because you grew up or whatever, and we're not doing Minecraft anymore. You come back after a while, and it's like, at this period of time in my life, it's, and the what you're doing right now actually aligns and is entertaining again for me in a completely different way. So maybe that's happened for some people. They've actually come back. It's like, I like your streams nowadays. You never used to stream. You're playing these kind of games now. I'm actually interested in those kind of games now. Yeah. I kind of like your the way you're talking nowadays. You're a lot more mature than you used to be. I don't know. So that's also a thing to consider.
Yeah. And just like you hope that you develop the audience that's interested in the same things you are as well, I think. Like, as in, like, I don't think there's any satisfaction in being a YouTuber that doesn't want to sort of hang around with the people that watch them. You know, I mean, or for me at least, there's a big part of satisfaction that comes with that, where it's like,
yeah,
oh shit, this person is actually, you know, I would talk to this person, I would hang out with this person, you know,
like a relatability. Like,
yeah,
like when
exactly.
when you look at like people who have been, you know, constantly keeping up Minecraft, for example,
and
maintaining a persona that isn't really them at all.
Yeah,
they've just still got a young audience who are, you know, just exploring and finding their content again because they stayed exactly the same or tried to maintain that same thing. Whereas we've kind of grown with our content, I guess, or we tried to at least.
I think so.
Where we've got and to if a you point look at where like, yeah, like, we can't do the same stuff all the time.
I agree. If you compare it to say like the Hollywood industry and the darlings of the Hollywood industry that are like the old guard that are still like really respected. It's the ones that have kind of been authentic throughout, or what seemingly authentic. Obviously, we don't really know their lives and stuff, but people like Tom Hanks, obviously, there could be some controversy there, but on the whole, his entire career, he's just seemingly a genuine, regular guy that you think you know pretty damn well at this point.
And also people like, that like have interesting lives and have like interesting elements to them. I think make, you know, interesting people that have that go the distance when it comes to entertainment anyway, you know, like people like I was watching a show called The Great last night, which is a really good TV show. I think it's on Now TV, unfortunately, but it's about Catherine the Great, but it's got like Nicholas Holt and people like that in it, and it's a really fun show. But Gillian Anderson was like guest starring in it last night, and I really like Gillian Anderson. I really liked her in Sex Education as well. She's really good in that, and obviously she had a huge X-Files following and things, but like I was just looking at her life, and she has had a crazy life. Like, she was like completely, like, she's been she was like a complete tearaway, like in school and all this sort of stuff, and like, I don't know, it was just interesting. And then she went
it's
on
like
to,
Winona Ryder and Meryl Streep and people like that,
just, it's I think that, like, but I mean, they don't have to be crazy to be interesting, but like that you can definitely tell how where some people are like squeaky clean, I guess you'd call it, or just very much trying to be the
they have an image,
don't take a stance. Yeah, exactly, this is who I am, I project this thing, I'm a product and I think that's hopefully what sets us apart a little bit from, unfortunately, some of the more successful YouTubers that we know and have seen around us. Is the and that's kind of where my disdain for a lot of them come from, is that they're just products, they're just doing this as a way to make money and without any regard for being who they are and putting that out there.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that, though.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it when it comes to making money.
They're treating it like a job, and that's entirely up to them. You know, as long as, you know, I guess, I don't know, it's weird because everyone puts a bit of a persona on when they're doing specific content, I guess, but like yeah, if that's what they want to stick to, and that's, and they're earning a lot of money for it, they, I guess they see no reason to try and divert that, or, you know, suddenly talk about politics in a fucking Pokemon Go video and lose some of their audience because, you know, they've decided to be themselves. So
you see, but I guess what I'm saying is, like, I value the fact that we still have a platform based on the fact that we don't have that, like, filter,
you know,
like yeah, exactly. Like, I like the fact that we don't have to do that. Exactly. Like, and you're right. Yeah. We do put characters on, and we do put, like, you know, something a little bit on when promoting stuff and shit like that.
But I think at the same time, it's just, because we genuinely want to, though. It's not like, oh, fuck, here we go. All right, hey, everybody. It's like, I'm just excited that I'm on camera.
I think in a way, perhaps because we've been doing it for 11 years, or whatever, almost, in a way, I think that it feels like an amazing platform for regular people to be able to speak and be lifted up and be put in front of people and say, like, hey, this is who we are. This is what we think. What do you think of that? But then there are all these people that are just changing it from a platform about sharing yourself and sharing things to a job and to a platform to exploit and monopolize and make money. And I guess I think that it's a bit shitty. Like, you know, like, as in, this was once an open source for people to place things on, to connect, like, you know, for all the shit that people say social media and all that stuff is actually about, you know, as in the people trying to sell it, versus how it originally was, you know, when things didn't have advertising on it and things like that. I don't know, I do like that. I like that we still have this platform, and I appreciate that people are still willing to listen, because I think there is a grand expectation.
Think, like, oh, fuck, we've been speaking about this for ages. We now need to, like, turn on the happy again or whatever, or just, like, appeal. And we need to play this game now because we've been playing this other one for so long. I mean, we do worry about that normally, because I think myself, if I was watching this, I'd be bored if we were doing it for this long, and I'd feel guilty, and therefore I wouldn't enjoy it as much because that would be on my mind.
Yeah.
But that's just, I feel like that's a regular thing rather than, like, okay, I'm looking at the statistics here and, like, what is the best thing right now that we could possibly be doing. Let's grind some Fortnite.
You become a machine. Let's grind some Roblox. Everything you're doing is, I mean, of course we still do it. Of course we want to get more views and make more money. I mean, of course, fucking hell, of course. But, like, it makes you, I think, if you're chasing those peaks and troughs, like you say, it's a good way to do it. You grind it out, but then you are essentially working for an algorithm. You're working for a machine. Like, and all you're doing then is thinking about what piece of content do I need to make to make that number go up. You're not. But, I mean, I guess the money is worth it.
They're treating it like a business.
Yeah, and, like, the money is worth it.
I think, it's like, without specific examples, like, you know, you mentioned Dan TDM earlier on, but that's his business to be like that and to encourage that audience growth from that attitude, I guess, and that's fine, I think, for that person.
Well, you say
as long as he doesn't be like, I'm genuine, you know, we're all friends. Yeah. I don't know what he says to his audience. That I hate is when they do that, because that is really encouraging a parasocial, unhealthy relationship.
Well, it is. Yeah, I mean, they all do that, Ross. They do.
I know.
They
do a lot of them do that. Yeah.
And that's why I don't like it either. But, like, yes, if the pursuit of money is the only objective, then yes, that is the way to do things. I personally think that. That's why I don't like the business sometimes, because
I think that's the problem, because this is a blurred line.
Yeah,
this format of show is a blurred line where you have to, well, you don't have to, but most people seem to sway towards, like, I'm connected with my community and each and every one of you matters so much to me, especially the ones that, you know, pay for that membership and do all that extra stuff. We obviously say that tongue in cheek, but it genuinely obviously money talks for these people, but they pass it off as, like, a friendship,
and then, well, that's it. I find that quite off-putting as well. It's like when people, like, well, some people follow people who give them shitloads of subs and stuff on Twitch. I find that really, like, that's bad. You shouldn't be doing that, because it's like you're encouraging,
crossing the
not
line,
only are you also saying you can buy my friendship like directly, it just sends the wrong message. I just think that's not a very good thing to do. And it is encouraging parasocial stuff, and you'll see the same people complain about parasocial relationships.
It's like,
but you're befriending them, you're following them back, you're retweeting them, liking them and stuff. It's like, that there needs to be a line. I think, but
it does.
It doesn't harm anyone necessarily, but it is kind of strange and disingenuous.
Yeah, I agree.
But honestly, though, if you donated thousands and thousands to me, I'd follow you.
We'll be friends.
And that's because of the money, and I don't really want to be a friend, but I pretend.
I mean, at least I say
maybe
up
you
front,
would be a nice person.
Same right? Trot's a friendship hooker. Trot will be your friendship hooker, but because you know up front, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I regulate friendship hookers is all I want to say. Regulate them, tax them, let them do what they want to do.
Yeah, if you're going to say it at the start, I mean, that's fair enough. You've made it all clear. That's fair enough.
But no, you're right.
And even with the closest people in my life, I'll eventually stop texting you.
Until you pay the fee.
That person. Wow, $5,000. Okay.
Wow, I can't every time I text him, it comes up with a PayPal. What the hell?
Yeah, how about that? Just a little nudge there, paypal.me. You haven't sent anything recently.
Count's looking a little low. I will stop talking. Not sure I can afford the Uber Elite that I want to take over to your place. Sugar babying. Chris Trot, the ultimate sugar baby. There's plenty of pictures you could put online of you in baby costumes as well. You could be,
We have too many of those.
Maybe we should do a video where we see who can get the most applications to our sugar baby Instagram. And we set up our own sugar baby Instagram. We go catfishing.
We can go catfishing.
For real this time. And then it's not actually for real, even though we've been catfishing. Oh, it's so meta.
Yeah.
I really need to piss, so can we stop the podcast?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
I mean, it's already 14 minutes over our... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll apologize. I feel like we do cover some of the same topics in the past. I mean, we do, you know, talk about ourselves a lot, like a bunch of narcissistic cunts, but it's fine. Mm. Like, I think it's more of a case of, like, we know the people who are listening to this are the people who've gone through the filter of the main channel, then actually subscribed to the Hat Gaming channel.
No, I really want this again. I want this distilled.
And then that's why, like, this is probably the most real us that you see in any of those formats, because we are just changed shit with no other distractions. And I think that's, you know, if you come for this, then you've got us raw.
Raw dog and hat films and the Hat Chat podcast.
So, I mean, I appreciate that. Thank you very much if you stuck around for this chat where we talk about...
There's going to be a subsection of audience that are just the kind of people that like being thanked for enduring as well. And maybe, this is the thing about audience studies.
Hurt me more, daddy.
Yeah. It's like, eventually, and then you'd be like, I don't want you to listen. And then there are people that want to listen because you don't want them to listen. You know, how do we activate all those niches at once? Like, oh, it's so great to see you. Just kidding. Get out of here. You know, we're hitting three there.
To be fair, there are certain jokes and stuff that, yes, we regurgitate over and over again. But I like to think that
we're not that complicated.
But at the same time, I think every time we readdress the same kind of topics, it's an evolving conversation.
Yeah.
Like, there's always a slight different or an update on it and a slight change. And I think we're shifting the narrative as we go and just reflecting on it, which is not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's the same.
Yeah. I just think it's hard to get across our point of view in this scenario. Cause we don't know what our audience wants half the time. And then we, like you say earlier on, you can't predict what content would do good.
Clueless.
And what energy you should put everything into. So do what we do and try everything and then try it for a short enough time that you don't really know whether it works and then move on. And then
it must be funny for someone that's followed us for so long, and like, relatively speaking, we've done all right. We've done really good, actually, that we can maintain this as a living. For us to constantly be like, we don't know what the fuck we're doing.
still, it's
like,
been
how do we do this? Yeah,
that's the thing about YouTube is that you don't know. One day you'll make a video that everyone will send to 3.8 million people. Other days, you're just, you know, who knows?
You know what the trick is? So not worrying about that sort of thing. Don't release on your main channel for a long time. That way you don't have any
pressure's
knowledge
off, baby.
How it's going.
pressure's off.
That is,
ding dong.
That is nuts.
Not for long.
But
I just wish my mental health was as stable as our sub count, you know?
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
That's static. It moves when we release content. That's expected.
Oh, fuck, I need to unsubscribe from those guys.
Accounts where like, Jesus Christ, these guys are still releasing it. Where's Filthbridge?
Get off my feed. Anyway, let's wrap up there.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening and enduring for this long, 57 minutes. We'll leave you now with a nice little chiptune ditty, the full 1:20 from Andrew Nelson. Thank you, Andrew Nelson. If you have any thoughts or comments, please email them in to hatchat@hat-films.com. Particularly if you've got a musical fingal to give me, please. Urgent appeal. Thank you. I'd love that. And also a big thanks to our Patreon supporters who really like to self-flagellate and not only endure us, but also pay money to do so, which is insane.
They really love it.
Thank you for that.
They love it.
Still surprises me that people pay.
Yeah.
it's
but hey,
a shock.
It's an interactive experience. You get to vote every week on the questions that we're going to be discussing, like the snail one.
Like
and
the
also,
snail
you
one.
Get you get the ad-free version of the podcast that Ross diligently uploads for you separately. It's an extra process, but he does it for you. So there you go. Thanks, everyone. Have a bloody good week.
Yes.
We'll see you next Friday, all being well. Mm-hmm. Usually is. We're pretty consistent with Hat Chats nowadays. So
yeah, very nice. Consistent, I think.
Very consistent. It's very nice.
We've been
okay.
Upgraded.
Have a great time. And bye for now.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye for now.